This line in the gospel today I found most striking. Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. What do you think of when you think of the word contemplative or to contemplate God? Probably the first thing that comes to mind for me is somebody who prays all day, like a monk or a nun, somebody who dresses in a habit, and they literally get locked into a church or a monastery, and they pray. They just literally pray all day. That's somebody who contemplates God, right? And yet, every single one of you here today is called to contemplate God. But sometimes this can be very foreign to our experience. Why? Because we think that contemplation of God is somehow dependent on the circumstances of our life, not what we do with those circumstances. I mean, a monk or a nun, right, they leave the world, in a sense, and go behind a closed wall, and they dedicate themselves to prayer and to the Lord. They change their circumstances to make prayer and contemplation of God easier. But what about us living in the world? You know? Well, I think Mary's a wonderful example of how you live in the world, but not of the world. How you live in the world, but you also contemplate God. I mean, just put yourself in her shoes for a moment. She's had this angel appear to her and tell her this news that she's going to conceive a son, even though she hasn't known man. She's living with this man, Joseph, expecting him to be the foster father, and thank goodness she found a good man to be with. She's giving birth in a stable amongst animals and placing her baby in a trough used for feeding animals. And then her husband says, well, we have to walk on foot to Egypt. And then they walk back. All of this chaos going on in the life of Mary, shepherds visiting her in a stable, these wise men that will show up in a few weeks, bearing gifts, one of them myrrh, the spice used at the anointing of death. All of this chaos going on. And yet, what does it say in the gospel today? Mary kept all these things in her heart and reflected on them. You see, at her core, she was contemplative. She chose to take all these crazy circumstances going on in her life and to think about them and reflect on them instead of reacting to them. And that's our temptation, guys. Is that we want to react to the circumstances in our life instead of reflecting on them and trying to see God in those circumstances. Being with my family over the holidays, we have 15 nieces. I have 15 nieces and nephews now, and I think being with them and being with my siblings, it makes me think a lot about when I grew up and how chaotic our household was. You know, I'll often say to people, why haven't you had me over to your house? I've been here coming up on 5 years now, and you've never had me over to your home. Well, Father, I'd have to clean my house if you came over. Which, you know, there's 5 little kids. That's just nearly impossible, because as soon as you get it clean, it's dirty again. I don't care. I grew up in a house that was crazy. You know what we did? Mom and Dad, they would say, pick up the family room, right? Everybody's shoes would be all over, socks there, toys there. Well, we'd go set them on the steps of the stairs if they went upstairs. We'd just set them on the steps, right? Because it's perfectly reasonable to say, well, you know, I don't want to make a ton of trips upstairs, so I'm going to just put it all on the stairs. And then next time I go upstairs, I'll get the stuff. And you're sure that happened, right? Especially when the stairs was full of stuff and you actually had to jump over it. I can jump from the landing on our stairs at home down to the bottom level, all over all those stairs. I could do it when I was younger, too. You know, Dad would come around in the morning. He would wake us all up. And then he was off to work before we ever even got going. And then we'd get cleaned up, and mom have to try to get, you know, five kids over. I think we're spread out, you know, over like roughly 15 years, 16 years. And, you know, she'd have to get them all dressed, fed to two different schools for a good chunk of her motherly career. And then, you know, I'm sure she probably went home after all of that and sat down and had a glass of wine and fell asleep. Because, you know, just in the span of an hour and a half, all this craziness happens. Of course, she didn't. She went home and she cleaned house and she prepared meals and she took kids to doctor's appointments. She took care of kids who were sick and barfing all over the place. And then, you know, Dad would come home. I remember he'd come in the door and he'd go over and give Mom a hug and a kiss. She was usually preparing dinner. And we would have come home from school, and of course, because we're stuck in chairs for 8 hours of the day, the first thing we want to do when we get home is what? You know, go out and play. And of course, Mom's actually okay with that. She'd like to be the good parent and make us sit down and do our homework first. But when you're bouncing off the walls, it just ain't going to happen. And then the evening, of course, is full of dinner and homework and basketball and volleyball and scouts. And then you have to get five kids to bed at three or four different times. And then I don't know what parents did after we went to bed as kids, but I bet you just collapse. Because in about 6.5 hours, you're going to have to get up and do it all over again. Now, where in that day is there time for contemplation of God? When you hear that word contemplative, and you think of the monk or the nun who sits there and can just sit and be with Jesus all day in prayer and commune with Jesus, where is the parent of those children supposed to find time for God? Well, number one, it must be found in your vocation. I had a lady that I met with a couple months ago, and she was getting ready to have her fourth child, and she said, "Father, I wish I'd become a nun." She was just overwhelmed, right? All the kids are little. They're like a year and a half apart each. She's overwhelmed. And I just looked her straight in the eye and said, "No, you don't. The grass always looks greener on the other side, doesn't it?" And that can be true of somebody who's married and wished maybe they hadn't been, or somebody who's not married and wished they had been. Why? Because your circumstances get difficult and you look at and you say, "Oh, the grass is greener on the other side." But I also think it's true even amongst lay people. A mom who looks at another mom and thinks, "Wow, that mom really has it together. Look how well behaved their children are." Well, you don't see them at home. You don't see what kind of nuts they are. And I've been to some of their houses, and they really are. They may be perfectly well-behaved in public and hideous at home. I see some of your parents looking at you, children. Guys, you got to live your vocation. If God gave you your husband and your children, then that's what he gave you as your pathway to heaven. Not somebody else. And he didn't have another plan for you. And somehow you lost it. He gave you that plan to get to heaven. So stop thinking that you haven't found it. And find God in your vocation. Secondly, find God in the craziness. This is something I very much have learned being a pastor for the first time at Christ the King. And not because Christ the King is exceptionally crazy, but just being the pastor of 1,300 souls. And sometimes, yeah, everything's coasting along and works well, and then, you know, everything blows up. Sometimes literally. Things have blown up at our parish, that's why I say that. And, you know, like, last week, the copper thieves hit and took out three of our air conditioners. And I found out yesterday we have four heaters that are now down in our school. And the boiler's leaking in one place and clanging in the other. And that's just the heating and air. That doesn't even involve any of you. And I know what it's like to get to that point where you just want to cry and say why, God. For you as lay people, it's, you know, when your kids make this mess all over or just barf in the middle of nowhere. I've had to clean that up too before. Right there. Don't sit there. And you just think, why, God? Why are you overwhelming me, God? And you know what? I think it is those moments where you think that it is the furthest thing from a nun or a monk in a monastery. Those are the moments that you can contemplate God. Just like Mary, you're not making your contemplation of God dependent on the circumstances of your life. You're bringing contemplation of God into the circumstances of your life. It's when you get down on your knees, when you are overwhelmed, that you grow the most and you become the most holy. And it's not by thinking that some monk or nun or priest has it better than you in the spiritual life, brothers and sisters. It's when you decide to contemplate God in the mess of life that you grow holy. You know, every week, sometimes twice a week, you guys come to church. And I hear from so many people, they don't get a lot out of Mass. Or people who say, well, Father, I really enjoyed your homily. It's not as good as the homily at this other parish. You know, that's all very sad to me. Because spiritual life, getting something out of Mass, feeling close to God, contemplating God, is never dependent on the homily. I ask people when they come up to me and they say, Father, I really enjoy coming to your church because of your preaching. Well, fine. But I really don't like that other one. And I said, well, did that priest over there at that other parish, did they give you the Eucharist? Yeah, I did too. That's the greatest thing you're going to receive here today. And if you're not at home contemplating God, if you're not bringing the contemplation of God into the circumstances of your life, if you're not praying with Him daily, making time for that prayer by shutting off the TV and all the other distractions, then guys, you're not going to get anything out of Mass. And you may have the greatest preacher in the world, you may have the greatest music in the world, you may have the most beautiful church in the world, but you will never feel close to God until it happens at home. And yet, how many of you will leave after communion today to get home as fast as possible? You see, the contemplation of God, guys, it doesn't just happen here. It happens in your home. We actually call your homes the domestic church. Your homes are little temples, places where God resides. Let us pray through this Eucharist that you received today, that like Mary, you may choose to not react to the circumstances of your life, but to reflect on them, to not make contemplation dependent on the circumstances of your life, but to bring contemplation into everything you do.